Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, presenter and activist Eimear O'Neill on her conversation with Tommy Tiernan about the joke that prompted her to walk out of his show. Brian O'Connell reports on the impact of damp and mould in council-owned homes. Two YouTubers have created a marketing sensation around a new drink. But what's in it? Dietitian Louise Reynolds takes a look. Fantastic Mr. Fox and his friends are very active now that it's mating season. We'll find out more about this nocturnal creature. If you have any questions for our expert, text 51551. Trouble for Pascal Donoghue, a crisis in accommodation for refugees and asylum seekers, and more job losses in tech and retail. All will be discussed in the Friday gathering. Text us this morning, 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Pascal Donoghue faces a weekend of speculation about his chances of political survival as he prepares to answer questions about his election expenses in the Dáil next week. The vacuum created by the Public Expenditure Minister's unavailability to clear up further questions about financial support from a donor has put him at the centre of a growing political storm. In a moment, I'll be joined by Fianna Fáil TD Barry Cowan, but first, Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times, joins me for more on this. Harry, thanks for joining us this morning. So Sinn Féin has asked Pascal Donoghue seven times about whether Michael Stone was involved in his postering campaign in the run-up to the 2020 general election. Is he in trouble if further revelations emerge about that now?
If further revelations emerge, absolutely he is in trouble, because his spokespeople have been quite adamant all during the week that Michael Stone's contribution in relation to the general elections was confined to 2016, and that the posters for the 2020 election were put up by volunteers. So if a narrative emerges, Claire, that's contrary to that, of course he's in trouble. He's already made a clarifying statement. If he has to go back and amend his clarifying statement in the Dáil next Tuesday, he's going to be in real trouble. You said that there's a vacuum at the moment. Of course there is. And there's going to be so much speculation fueled over the course of the weekend. And there's an old political saying that's derived, I believe, from Karl Rove, who was an advisor to George W. Bush. He said, if you are explaining, you are losing. And at this moment of time, it looks very much like Pascal Donoghue is losing.
What does he have to clear up to make this go away, Harry?
Well, when he spoke in the Dáil yesterday morning, he said he was going to address issues that arose in relation to the payments in 2016 or the donations in 2016 from Michael Stone. And there were some questions that he hadn't fully clarified in his Dáil statement on Wednesday, when he refused to take questions, and these were left hanging in the air. In the first instance, was it a contribution that was made to the party or to himself personally? Different rules apply to donations made to parties compared to those made to individuals. Secondly, he said he became aware that the van had been used in 2017. This was the van that was used by the workers to put up posters. How did he become aware of that, and who told him? And why did he not act at that particular time? And thirdly, it's to do with the amount of money that was involved in the donation. Any donation that's made has to tally with commercial rates. And as we've heard, opposition spokespeople from Piers Doherty to Ivana Bacik to Roisin Shortall, all of them are saying that the figures that were supplied look too low, that they didn't tally with the commercial rate. I think Roisin Shortall was the person who used the phrase mates rates.
So you said, you know, that if more emerges now about what happened in 2020, then Pascal Donoghue could be in trouble. What does that mean? How much trouble?
Well, a fair amount of trouble. I think, as we've seen with controversies of this kind in the past that relate to governance and relate to personal responsibility, that when a politician makes a strong statement and tries to hold a line, and then new information emerges, you get what really amounts to a media feeding frenzy. You get inordinate pressure being piled on the politician from the opposition. And at some stage, the tension is so much that the rope breaks and the politician has to resign. So that could be the scenario. But then on Tuesday, he might come up and it might be a very simple explanation as to that 2016 election donation that was made by Michael Stone. The thing is, at the moment, we don't know. And okay. when people don't know, speculation is always inevitable.
All right, Harry. Well, I have, as I said, Fianna Fáil TD for Leigh Shoffley, Barry Cowan on the line. Good morning to you. Barry Cowan, good morning. Your name has been mentioned several times
yes,
this week in terms of the comparison being made between what's happening with Pascal Donoghue and this controversy and your own sacking in 2020. You've seen the headline in the Irish Independent this morning. It says Donoghue on the ropes. Do you think he is?
No, I think, look, to bring some context and background to this and measure it properly and effectively, Pascal Donoghue is a good man. He's a hard-working, dedicated, conscientious politician that serves his constituency and his country well. His ability has been recognised by two Taoiseach. His ability is recognised by the European group of finance ministers. From the government's perspective, this government's perspective, he presented a budget package of 11 billion in recent times, provided 4 billion in reserve to meet the demands of the cost of living crisis. No borrowings associated with that at all. So, look, if we just measure that and park it, you look at my dealings with Pascal Donoghue, and I can only give you my example of my having dealt with him professionally as a politician. In relation to the confidence supply negotiations, I found him fair, I found him steely, I found him to recognise the need for that government to be put in place under that arrangement to build on the rectifications that had happened in the economy. We needed a government for a period of time. The political issue about extending it beyond the 3 years is another day's work from our perspective. But from his perspective, he came to that in good faith and negotiated a programme which was needed to steady the finances and ensure the country had an opportunity to grow again. Again, in the government formation talks of recent times, you know, compromise on many issues and aspects of their own Fine Gael policy in a way in which brought about a government that we would never have envisaged in the past.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's the background.
I think, Barry, people
there.
Would accept that. And I could find plenty of people who would say that you're a great fellow too. But,
you were
asked to go into the Dáil and answer questions. I'm going
to
ask you the question. When you decided not to do that, you were sacked. Pascal Donoghue didn't take questions the other day and he's still in the job. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I get to that. I just think there's a way in which to do so. Now, all of those positive aspects of his character that I've mentioned, that shouldn't necessarily, of course, exonerate him from any wrongdoing. But it should be noted and it should be measured when considering that man, his potential and his benefit to the state. And you measure that against any wrongdoing and quantifying that wrongdoing. So what did he do wrong? Based on what I've seen and heard over the last week and 10 days, he's guilty, it would appear, for not being fully appraised or having himself fully appraised of the details relating to his election spend. I expect, had he, for example, paid that expense himself, he would have no problem in recollecting and having his returns correct. However, it was his firm belief, it would appear, that the party made that payment, therefore the party was in receipt of that donation, and the rules associated with that, he believed that he rectified when made aware of this fact. Now, he was slow to do that. I accept that. But what eventually transpired, that rectification, when you hear the details associated with the classification or the definition of a donation, he may well have been wrong in that rectification too.
And we don't have the full facts yet, do we? Because
we don't have
answers about 2020.
As I said, that's apparent. It could well materialise that a similar situation arose in 2020. But if that is the case, and this needs to be clarified, of course he should come in and do so. And he'll do it honestly and truthfully. And he would have felt, I presume, that he had more space and time for those issues to materialise and clarify in the context of a SIPO investigation, which would be slower and less pressurised than the atmosphere of the Dáil chamber in the space of half an hour. So that's plausible and it's understandable. And it's, you know, if that's the case, let him clarify that. But now get back to the point that you made. Is this a sackable offence? Is it an offence that warrants or merits resignation? No. I don't believe it is. When you put that, as I said, when you measure his wrongdoing, his failures, his mistakes, and his apology against the what's the other side of the scale, what I mentioned earlier.
So what should happen then if it's not a sackable offence?
It does have to be. I accept everybody is frustrated by this fact that there has to be some accountability. There has to be some recourse. There has to be some form of punishment if that materialises. You know, and we don't have provision for that in legislation presently. It should be in the form of loss of pay? Should be in the form of suspension for a period? I don't know, but he definitely shouldn't be hounded out of office. And now to do the comparison with me, of course, people would say, look, Micheál Martin sacked me because I refused to answer questions at the Dáil, as I favoured due process in the form of an independent investigation by GSOC. This week, Pascal Donoghue said in the Dáil that he wouldn't answer questions favouring due process in the form of an independent investigation by SIPO. So if you look at that in face value, you immediately try and say, well, the precedent has been set, therefore he has to suffer the same consequences. But I don't subscribe to that. Irrespective of the rights or wrongs of my case, that's for another day, and we can speak about that separately on another occasion. But Pascal Donoghue...
But you see, the thing is, this has been said too, Barry Cowan, hasn't it? He's just too big to fail. They could get rid of you on that basis, that you wouldn't come into the Dáil and answer questions. They couldn't do that with the chairperson of the Eurogroup of Finance.
I'm not going to get into the rights and wrongs of my case. We can do that on another occasion if you so wish.
But is he too big to fail?
But he did wrong. He made a mistake. But then again, haven't we all?
But even you, you're suggesting, if it is found that there's more to this than we know about today, that he should be subject to something like a suspension and perhaps his pay being docked. You're saying he's too big to fail, are you?
I'm saying, and I've given you the background to Pascal Donoghue, the man. I've given you the background to my dealings professionally with Pascal Donoghue. And I've measured all those issues with him, irrespective of his failings from a policy perspective in relation to Fine Gael. But my dealings with him in putting a confidence in the supply arrangement together, in formulating a government and putting a programme for government in place in relation to this government, I have found him to be above reproach. I found him to be steely but fair. I found him to be committed to his constituents and to his country.
Yeah, but you're saying there should be accountability. There should be accountability. And just to explore...
Of course there should be accountability.
And what does that look like? What does that look like?
Well, as I said to you, there should be provision, but there isn't. But it's up to the government of the day to, in relation to the new ethics legislation that they're bringing in, to bring some form of punishment that is applicable in a circumstance such as this.
But they couldn't do it now.
Barry,
I just want to clarify this. Yeah. Your suggestion of a suspension and perhaps the pay being reduced for a number of months, whatever it might be, are you saying that can't happen now? Your suggestion can't be carried out?
Well, it would have to be agreed, I presume, between the parties. But if you're asking me to point to legislation or law which gives effect to such a situation, I can't, because it's not there. And people talk about the ethics legislation and SIPO not having sufficient powers and so forth. Well, they're the sort of powers it should have, rather than this default position, which is hound a person out of office, get rid of them. You know, as I said to you, the Dáil should reflect society. Many people in the Dáil have made mistakes. Paul Murphy himself made a mistake that he didn't insist that a baying crowd didn't take a lady minister out of a car when she was being held in it for 4 hours. I mean, there are plenty of examples that we could cite. But as I said, the people, the communities across the country elect their politicians on the basis of their understanding of their good faith and their commitment and their dedication to the issues for which they want to insist on making progress. And Pascal Donoghue is no different in that regard. And for this offence, no way should he be hounded out of office. Who, as somebody said earlier today, I'm not getting calls to my constituency office, nor is anyone else across the country, about the issues that matter to them are about who paid for 140 quid for a van to put posters up in the two elections ago.
But you're still saying that if he did wrong here, and if there is more to emerge, that he should be subject to a suspension. For how long? Would you suggest three months, for example?
I've given you the context and the belief and understanding and the summation I'm making, which might be completely wrong, but it's understandable if it transpires to be the case. And I accept that. And I don't believe he should be sacked because of that. I think there should be some means by which he can receive a sentence or a rap on the knuckles, whatever it is. but not one that says that that man is no longer in public life or can no longer contribute to the well-being of our country or our state, especially considering the impact he's had in relation to the formation of this government and the policies within it and the determination that there is amongst the government parties to ensure that it is enacted.
All right. Paul Murphy was exonerated, by the way. It's just worth us making the point that he was found have done nothing. I don't want to go back to that. All right. Listen, last Sunday, when all of this began to get traction, Minister Donoghue made that had that press conference at short notice, and he made his public statement on it. There was an email sent to all Fianna Fáil TDs and senators at that time advising you how to respond to media questions on this, and you said that this was all turning into a joke. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, look, it was just a culmination of issues that have arisen in the last number of weeks when you consider the public meeting in Gort and the way in which two politicians were dealt with there. Then you had this issue whereby we're down to the minute details of postering in an election campaign. It was in that background and against that background that I made that comment. And when I had it sent, I realised it was gone to everybody without knowing it, thinking it was only just gone to our own.
All right, we'll leave it there. Barry Cowan, thank you for joining us. Fianna Fáil TD, Barry Cowan there. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.